Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Whether you're fly fishing in a stream, getting those ankles wet, or deep in the ocean casting nets, fish nerds, fish nerds, fish nerds, it's a podcast.
Just for the halibut!
Hello and welcome to the Fish Nerds, a show about fish, fishing, and eating fish. I'm Clay Grove, Chief Executive Fish Nerd, Licensed Fishing Guide, your best friend, and now, as seen in the New York Times best-selling podcaster. I sell a free podcast. I'm pretty excited about it. Today on the show, Rich Collins, our fly fishing correspondent, will join us. We're going to talk about the Iron Fly Competition. We're going to go through last week's New York Times article about ice fishing with the Fish Nerds and look at the responses that New York Times readers have given to it. We're going to do the news. We're going to talk about why we torture ourselves fishing where it's really hard to fish. Why don't we go fish where it's easy? We're going to give you a contest update. I'm going to do that first thing. And then John King is going to give some interview advice. We'll probably start with those two things and then jump in with the rest. So why don't we jump in with the contest updates? We are doing a contest. We do a monthly contest here, roughly monthly. This is our St. Patrick's Day contest. I'm going to run this through St. Patrick's Day. So you have until the end of the day, March 17th, to answer the question. You've called 607-378-FISH and tell us what your luckiest fishy day was or luckiest thing you ever did while fishing or caught while fishing. Pretty wide open. Prizes will include a Fish Nerds hat, some fishing lures, swag, decals, and other things. And if you call us before the end of the day, March 17th, you leave us that voicemail, and then you say at the end, take a breath, and you leave us your address, we will mail you a Fish Nerds decals. I got lots of decals going in the mail this week from last month's contest. Finally got more in. Thank you to Backwoods Graphics for making us decals. And those prizes will get out as fast as we can. And we appreciate it. 607-378-FISH. I need about 10 entries. We got about 4 so far. So you got a good chance of winning this contest if you call us up right now. And why don't we jump in? John King, the crappie hippie. He's a great guy. He likes to encourage young people to fish and do other things. And last week on the show, we had Elijah on the show, and Elijah interviewed someone at a fishing show. And we asked for feedback, and the crappie hippie could not wait to give his feedback. So I'm going to play that for you right here.
Hey, everybody. This is Crappie Hippie, your tree-hugging redneck from eastern Kansas and co-founder of Glasswater Angling. And we had a wonderful interview in the last show by a young man named Elijah Bradley. But Clay asked us all to reach out to this fella and give him a few tips maybe on what we'd like to hear, what we'd like him to do next time he does an interview. And as an up-and-coming person in the Clay Grove School of how to be a podcasting correspondent, I've got a few things that I've learned in my journey. Don't feel bad, Elijah. This is not criticism. This is not any kind of a snarky takedown. But I just want you to know we all got to start somewhere. My first interview I sent into Clay totally raw. And it was recorded on a snowball on a creaky wooden table. My two guys sitting about 4 or 5 feet away. A lot of background noise, a lot of creaks and squeaks. And poor Clay had to boil this hour and 20 minutes of blabber into a nice 30-minute interview for the podcast, which he did without complaint. Why he didn't have me killed, I don't know. But I think we're both glad now that he didn't. So anyway, I'm no expert is what I'm trying to say, my young friend, and I'm really excited to hear you getting started and showing an interest in podcasting. So here we go. First of all, do your research. Research your subject as much as you can. I know everybody's busy and we're all volunteers, but do your research. There's two reasons to do your research. One is you'll engage the person more because you'll be able to advance the conversation because you're into their life and you know some things about them, and that's flattering and that's very conducive to you know, getting people to talk and to tell you things that you want to get out of them. As a journalist, you might want to get them to say things maybe that they wouldn't say to other people, or say in a way, or be more insightful with you than they have been with people who've done less research and so on. And that what you get by doing research is you can build context for your questions. So instead of saying, hey, what's your favorite lure? You can say something like, wow, I saw that you fished Lake Sullivan in West Virginia. I hear that's a pretty clear lake. Now, what would be your go-to jig on that? I hear you're a jig fisher, but what was your favorite color, say, if you were on Sullivan? You know, something like that. You can just build context for questions. Okay, but I also noticed that you went to an outdoor show, so you're basically going in raw, and you're just kind of looking around for people that were willing to talk to you, and that's awesome. Clay's done that a lot. They're some of my favorite shows when he goes into a tackle expo or is at a convention or somewhere. And what I've noticed that he does to break the ice and to either start or end conversations with people is to have a starter question or a conversation question that he asks everybody. So you did a great job of letting the guy shout out his TV station and his career and so forth, and that was awesome. And Clay does that great, and we've come across so many great people with great products or great ideas or doing great things in the fishing business. But he'll end up, you know, taking like one of our contest questions and asking, hey, what's your luckiest day at fishing? Or, hey, what's your favorite, you know, do you think Tenkara is actually a fly fishing method? Or, you know, something mildly controversial or something mildly exciting that they can give their opinion on really helps you to be remembered, and it really gives you some fantastic content. And finally, try to have controlling themes, because that is what makes an interview good. Like Clay said, long form interviews, like some of the first ones I did, that start off with, you know, how did you start fishing as a kid, and basically document a person's entire fishing life, are not that exciting for listeners as when you can get some sort of controlling theme. So, for example, the first, when I interviewed Anna on ice, we'd get ready to do the interview and I'd have all my questions ready. Then she would have to cancel, or I would have to cancel. I joke in there that adulting really makes this stuff a real pain sometimes. So then we would set it up again and I'd write down some more questions and come up with a different idea for a theme. And what ended up is I ended up getting a whole bunch of material, but every aspect of it was kind of focused on one certain topic. So we talked about the beginning of our ice fishing season, for example. And then I was able to put in a neat little interview about gender and fishing, because I noticed, you know, I'd focused on my second set of notes was about her career and about some of the posts I'd seen her do on Instagram and so forth. And so get some sort of controlling theme, just like the last one with Anna was about gender and, you know, how that is the same and different between different genders. It was very you know general. You can get very, very specific. I mean, if the person, you know, is known for inventing something and got on Shark Tank, you know, that's all Clay is going to talk about. If the person is known for a certain scientific aspect of their work, that's what Doc Martin is going to focus in on. Okay, so try to get a theme. Try to be topical. There's nothing wrong with getting a little background, laying a little groundwork, but definitely get some focus. You know, pick a lane and stay in it. But for gosh sakes, don't stop. You're off to a good start. We need young people to carry on this podcasting thing. We need young people that are interested in it. And I, for one, am excited as heck that you gave it a try and gave us an interview. And please get hold of some better equipment as you can afford to do so. Get a little quieter place to do your thing, but for goodness sakes, do not stop. Okay, then, this is Crappie Hippie saying, hey, Elijah, keep on going, little brother, keep on going. Tight lines and Valentines. Peace out.
And we thank the Crappie Hippie for that. Very encouraging. And I back up everything he says. The only thing I think I would add is just, you know, be concise, keep it short. And he said this too, make sure you know what you're going to do before you get to it. It's sometimes really hard to do, but take a minute, take a breath, make some notes, and you'll do fine. But thank you, Elijah. And we encourage you to record more for us and try to keep something in. Speaking of which, we are also looking for more Fish Nerds correspondents. If you have a story to tell or you want to get your voice on the show, drop me an email, clay@fishnerds.com, and I will tell you what you need to do. The really most important thing is that you have the chops. We want to make sure that you have a speaking voice, that you can sound good on audio. And there are all kinds of different good voices. It's not just, I don't think I have a good voice, but I think the crappie hippie has got a good voice. I think a lot of people do. Just get your voice out there. Speak slowly, speak clearly. Send me something and we'll use it. And if we like you, which we will, we'll include you in part of the show. We need more correspondents, especially pop culture stuff. We need some cooking correspondents and anything else you want to do. We're open-minded. We want to keep a clear, fun show for you here. And I think we're going to wait now for our friend, Rich Collins. All right. So as promised, Rich Collins, our fly fishing correspondent, is with us. And we haven't heard from Rich on the show in a long time. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I love chatting with you because you're always in such a good mood all the time.
Oh, yeah. It's been one of the greatest weeks of my life. If it could get any better, you know, frogs would fly out of my ear holes.
Ear holes. All right. So one of the things I want to talk about with you is you just got to be part of the Iron Fly competition. I wanted to discuss that with you a little bit.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. The Saco Valley TU guys put it on.
Yeah, so what was it?
So they do a fundraiser, basically. It's a fundraiser, and part of it was this fly tying competition, and it's based on the Iron Fly competition, which I believe is like trademarked.
So Iron Chef, right?
Style.
Yeah.
And they basically give you a whole bunch of weird, junky fly materials, put a bunch of guys together with their vices and say, come up with the best possible fly you can and we'll give you a prize. Mm-hmm. So it's a challenge, let's say. And they pick really annoying materials and really annoying colors just to keep you on your toes. So
awesome.
And it's pretty cool.
So you got to go and be part of that. You paid to participate in that. And what were the materials like?
Well, there was a lot of hot pink. There was a lot of hot blue, what electric blue. And because Steve Angers was in on this deal from the North Country Angler, he put in a stupid mop fly material piece, which is my least favorite material in the world and least favorite fly in the world.
But it works.
And, well, and he was laughing and laughing and laughing when I saw that piece of mop in there.
Now, do you have to use all the materials or can you use whatever you want?
So you can use whatever you want, but you get bonus points if you use all the material, and I'm not a good tire. So basically, I had to use all the material to even get points. So they say you get extra points if you use everything.
So I saw your fly, and we're actually using it this week as the cover art for the show.
Nice, the hairball!
The hairball, and you won.
I won. I couldn't believe it because
yeah,
I did this
it was
last
ugly.
Year. Oh, it's wicked ugly.
Yeah.
But, last year, I thought my fly was kind of cute, but I guess this year, just the fact that I used everything, that it looked buggy, and that it had some unique traits to it, meaning it was the weirdest fly ever. somehow they won, and there were a bunch of judges, too. So I don't even know if they all fished, so I was completely dumbfounded. I didn't even know I won.
And you won. The prize was a new vice.
Yeah, the HMS vice. Sorry, I can't remember exactly what it is, but I won this awesome main made fly vice and the trophy, which is another fly vice in a big old saltwater fly. But I mean, I got a sweet vice out of the deal. I was so psyched.
Not bad, not bad at all. And so, are you going to fish with that fly, or are you going to put it like in display?
Well, I have to treasure it and pet it because it is a little furry and love it a little bit. But definitely, yeah, I'm going to go out and I'm going to catch a fly on it and then try to circle back and be like, look, it actually worked. I caught a fish on it, and that would be pretty fun.
Yeah, well, I think you'll catch something on it. So get a big dumb brook trout, eat anything.
It's got a lot of hackle. It's got a lot of wings. It's got mop in it. I mean, it'll work. It just looks like something on the water. So hot pink and hot blue.
All right. Well, thanks for that update on the Iron Fly competition. Have you been out fishing at all this year, this winter?
I went out ice fishing, of course, on Suckett Silver Lake. Got skunked a few times. Can't learn, don't learn, won't learn. And then I went out in the river. Oh, I don't know, one of those really warm days we had when it was like 60, and I thought I was all ready to go. You know, I'm like, oh, it's so warm, it's awesome, I'm not going to dress too warm. And I waded out, and the water was still about 34.
Yes.
It was effing freezing. So I froze, I slipped, I fell, I got wet, I got beat up, and I went home without any fish. So that was it. I haven't really been super excited to get out since because I need to get back into it.
I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. So one of the topics on tonight's show I wanted to talk about was I wanted to find out, like, why do we torture ourselves fishing when it's hard? Like, fishing can be super easy, right? There's all these places we know where you can catch a fish every other cast, whether you're fly fishing or spin casting. But we choose to attack waters like Silver Lake or a river that's 34 degrees. Why do we do this to ourselves?
That's a good question. I mean, it's a challenge. I think it's like anything. If you golf, you just want to get better at golfing, even though there's only one real element, your swing, but people spend 50 years doing it. I don't know about the pain part. I don't get the pain part. The challenge I get always trying to try something new or different or take on a new aspect, but I don't get the pain part. It's getting to be too much. Why we do this to ourselves?
We are dumb.
I think it's either ego or it's just evolutionarily, like, it's fun to conquer things, right? It's fun to, like, if you use a worm on a you know, a bobber, you know you're going to catch panfish. So it's kind of like, why do that? Let's go do something goofy and difficult, like tie our own fly with garbage and see if it floats.
Yeah, that's fun to do. Now, so we've been tackling, working on Silver Lake now for a number of years, and we still haven't mastered that lake, despite our taking the challenge on as often as possible. Vinny's been out there for the last 4 days in a row for like 6 hours a day, and he hasn't caught a single fish.
Yeah, he did. He finally got into some nice ones, I think.
Oh, well,
he sent me some pictures.
He caught one fish like 4 days ago.
That's fine. That's it. Yeah.
But he's out there right now. Like,
of course he is.
Yeah, he's just jigging, not catching anything and having a great time. I don't know. I've actually barely fished Silver Lake this year. This winter I was like, yeah, no, not into it. But now it's a New York Times special. So
yes.
So now I have to. So the New York Times article last Sunday broke and, you know, reached a million or so readers on paper. And then this past Tuesday, it went international into the New York Times international distribution, going to 161 countries worldwide. So now everyone's going to want to come to Silver Lake and get skunked.
I don't know about that. I mean, congratulations on the article. It was awesome to see you guys getting the notoriety that you deserve.
But, holy hell, yeah.
It was an interesting article. Very interesting writing style. I wasn't sure if I was nostalgic, millennial, or a hipster when I read it. It was pretty wild.
With Steve, it's hard to know. He's writing to this kind of like New York Times audience who likes that flourish and the arts and stuff like that. I mean, even the photos they used, they didn't use the best photos. I can't figure out. Like
they use those that evoke questions or emotion or like empty space to make you think. Like, I totally get it.
I don't know. Like, the photographer who took the photos, Tony, sent me a bunch of photos that they took, and all the ones he sent me are better than the ones they published.
But are they typical? The Times likes to do like alternative in a way, like special. So I get it.
I don't get it. But anyway, what I wanted to do today was kind of dive into the New York Times comment section on this article. So if you haven't read the article, there's a link in the show notes. Just click through, take 10 minutes and read the article to catch you up. But I thought it'd be fun if we riff on these New York Times comments. You hear my dog?
I've read some of the comments. There are some wild comments in there.
Let's grab a few and chat them up. So I'm going to start at the very top here. We have the first one is Roberta from Princeton. Fancy. Clearly, commenters here only open the article in order to make snarky comments about distressed fish and global warming. I am weary of so many New York Times readers whose interest is to assert their own superiority by demeaning the activities of those who don't conform to their worldview. Their refusal to accept the fact that their fanatical proselytizing is destined to fail is exhausting. These people should keep their opinions to themselves, because at the end of the day, it seems that those who preach tolerance and diversity are, in practice, at least least tolerant of all. So that's Roberta.
And that's Roberta blows my mind a little. That's a lot of big words about fishing.
It is, but what she's really saying is, like, shut up.
Exactly.
Like, why do you want to suck away someone's fun?
Yep. And well, I mean, it isn't a fishing audience per se. You know, it's a more intellectual audience, so I kind of get it, but no, I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Like, why just dog on everything? But then I guess it's the internet, so what else do you do?
Yeah, we got another guy from Canada. Says the article omits that most ice fishers just sit around and drink or watch TV in their tiny huts. It's so boring, and that it makes curling look exciting. So, it's a weird. Like he read the article, and then he went, "Oh, why are they making this sound fun?"
Which I thought was the whole point, to evoke a like throwback and to kind of introduce people to a sport that's changed. I mean, yeah. I thought I understood the article, even though I had to read it four times to get the words to fit in my head.
Well, it made me laugh because I'm like, dude, like the whole point is it's not what the way you remember it. It's not as boring. Tia says, I like Garrison Keillor's description of how to ice fish with peas. Drill a hole, surround it with frozen peas, and when the fish comes up to take a pee, you grab it.
You catch it in the ice hole.
In the ice hole.
I don't even get that. I don't remember anything about peas.
I don't either. But
to her, make stuff up.
To her, that was funny. Let's see what else we got here. To battle between the angler who wants to have fun and the fish who wants to live. How can the New York Times endorse such cruelty?
Ooh, and Greg shot back with catch and release because the fish love it.
Hammer down. I always say, like, if the fish didn't love being caught and released, you wouldn't catch them a second time.
Well, that's that's Darwinism, right? The smartest fish won't bite your fake lure, but the dumb ones will. So it's actually improving the gene pool.
Oh, yeah. We're doing them a favor. They
love it. I don't try to justify it. I think fishing is cruel. I don't think it's the nicest thing ever, but we're an alpha species and, you know, that's what we do.
Yeah, that's why I always get into it. Here's another one from, her name is Reader. You think it's fun for the fish who think he or she is resting under the ice and gets tortured and killed?
Not always killed. Sometimes just tortured.
Just tortured, mostly. by the way, on the way on Silver Lake, we're the ones being tortured most of the time.
Exactly.
Exactly. here we go. My favorite from Oakland, California. When do we get to read an article written by the fish?
Well, when fish can learn to write and read.
From their point of view. Let's see. All right. Did any of these jump out at you?
Well, there's one. The first comment ever is from a guy named Rich Collins, who we all know is a real loser. And he says, congratulations, Bonnie and Clay. I can't type. And I misspelled Vinny's name. And about 2 minutes later, he sends me a message, Bonnie, eh? And I'm like, dude, I just can't do nice things. it was really funny. But I was surprised at all the anti-animal treatment comments that came up. It was kind of fascinating because I didn't know there was that much animosity toward fishing in the world, even in the intelligent world.
I'm not surprised by it because I deal with them with them a lot, and I would expect from the New York Times audience, you know, you get kind of in general a more liberal kind of hippie, you know, more probably more vegans reading the Times than you do, say, like watching Fox News. So I'm not terribly shocked by it. I'm terribly shocked by how offended they are by it.
But a lot of hippies go out, hang out, live in the woods, you know, they do a lot of things. So I don't know, hippies, I just think hippies are cool, chill, laid back, be like, yeah, man, let's get some fish.
Well, what I would argue that is like, it's impossible to go through life and not kill animals. Like, we just can't do it as a human or any other animal. Like, you just can't not kill things. If you're eating vegetables, there's animals on those vegetables that you're eating. Processed grains have insects in them, ketchups, mustard, anything. All that stuff has ground up insects in them. So you can't help yourself.
Yeah, and the pesticides to go into those farms kill everything. I mean, they kill every critter. So it's, you can't win.
Well, and if you drive a car, you've killed a lot of animals. Even if not big animals.
Yeah, but read the Times online. Yeah. All the computer parts.
All right, let's go through a few more. A grumpy old lady here. Ice fishing is best without the noise of gadgets. And now that Allen's coffee brandy is off the market, ice fisher persons must be wondering what the point is. And you answered her on this one.
Because I didn't know Allen's coffee brandy was off the market. And I think if it was, Maine would just secede from the union.
As a bartender in Maine, I will tell you for sure, is not off the market.
Yeah, she's in New Mexico, so they must have stopped distributing it because the three Mainers that were there probably weren't buying it or something.
It's actually disgusting. and that's the problem with it. The other problem is her grumpy old woman here, ice fishing is best without the noise of the gadgets. I would think ice fishing has gotten quieter over the years with the quieter drills. You know, it's no big gas motors on the ice. How would she make a hole?
Usually I just hear the wind and yep. it just doesn't stop and it just hurts. So yeah. I don't really listen to anything yeah. but my own voice saying, why the heck are you doing this? There's another lake down the road that isn't Silver Lake and you can go to it.
Yeah, that's the best way to go. Let's see if you get good ones. Oh, here we go. From Norbert Bernhard. Killing animals is neither sport. You're just sitting there. What's the big deal? Nor fun. No men don't kill the innocent who can't defend themselves. So
I got nothing.
I'm going to read the responses to Norbert. This is from a guy called The Horror. Either we kill the animals to eat them or they kill plants to eat. Or we kill plants to eat them. Either way, it will happen, I guarantee you. So The Horror is just saying eating is, you know, an act of violence.
Right.
Yeah, which I agree with. JP says, did you read the release part or the part about eating the invasive species? Sounds like healthy environmental management to me.
Good yeah. call.
And Patrick says, fish eat other fish in marine life. So what's your point exactly? Just because a walleye bigger than a yellow perch, a crayfish, or a minnow means it is a superior, more sentient being and has a right to kill its prey. So the ice fisherman who catch the walleye is actually saving hundreds of other defenseless animals a day. You should be grateful for, I love this, you should be grateful. We did you a favor by taking that big trout out of the water.
Well, you know,
the fish it would have eaten. It was a murderer.
That's the best argument I can see there is, yes, the whole cycle of life. The reason we fish is our like primal instincts teach us to hunt and fish. And it's like we're using part of our brain that's dying. So, you know, maybe I'm part animal still and I like it because there's something about the chase that's really fun. And it no is matter really what, fun. It's cool.
And I've always been to the case, like if anyone asks me about fishing, I'm going to tell them it's the dumbest sport ever.
Absolutely.
There's no logical sense to it. So anytime anyone comes in and like is like, it's a stupid thing. I can't believe you're just catching a fish, taking a picture, putting it back in the water, then doing it again. I'm going to go, you're right.
So fishing for food makes sense, but we've intellectualized it. Like you said, we have to make it harder. And then we have to somehow decide, oh, let's just keep putting them back and then catching them again. So their life is, you know, kind of living hell.
we'll do one more here. One more on the negative side. I'm going to ignore her bad grammar. Fishing is creature torture. It is not a sport. By the way, I don't understand the sport aspect either. I'm with her on that one. All those birds and turtles who are strangled and cast aside lines left by lazy and indifferent fishermen also agree. I'm sure she's been talking to them. We have so overfished the plant's waters that ecosystems are ruined. Thank you, humans.
Well, I agree with all that, but that's more commercial and greed driven. Yeah. That's the other part of human nature that it really bugs me.
Yeah, we could agree on we don't want the ocean being dredged out for fish.
Right.
The response here is from someone named Sean from Oregon. You are confusing oceans with inland lakes. Yes, the oceans are polluted from growing wheat for bread, soybeans for soy milk, corn, vegetables, etc., and from your Patagonia and North Face fleece. Boom! Overfishing does occur on oceans. Most inland lakes are just fine, and overfishing is not even a thing on most of them. When I fish, I always pick up stray line and old tackle from shoreline, as do many others. Besides, is eating plants less cruel? Circle of life. So,
damn.
Yeah.
Did you see the one? There's one really touching one on there from Sherry Wright, her name is.
Yeah, about she reached out son. To me. Yeah, she lost her son when he was young. She actually is from New Hampshire. Let's see if I can find that one.
Yeah, that one gave me goosebumps.
I wasn't going to read it.
No, I don't know that we should highlight it or anything, but I mean, just reading it. Like,
she did publish it, so let's find it. She actually emailed me, too. She wants to do some work with us. Let's see.
It was just nice. She had her son had loved to fish, and this inspired joy in her to think back, and it was really good.
Yeah, my youngest son could catch fish in a mud puddle. I've said since he was a toddler. He passed away on February 2nd of this year, which is awful. While he enjoyed many places to fish in New Hampshire, it was on on ice that he seemed to enjoy the best. A quiet contemplation, a oneness with nature found while fishing is magnified when out on the ice. He was a fan of the podcast. He was a listener. And while he will no longer be found doing what brought solace to his soul, we honor his memory in creating the Landon Bryan Wright Memorial Fund that helps kids experience the joys of New Hampshire outdoors. Thank you for this timely article. His mom needed it. I got, I'm getting a little teary reading there.
Yeah, I mean, that was worth it. That was worth the whole thing.
Yeah, so she reached out to me through email last week, and we're going to be doing something for that memorial together. So
awesome.
I said, yep, let me know what you have in mind, and let's make something happen. That's probably a nice positive to end on. And that's one thing that the anti-fishers are missing is the positive aspect, the building community, the memories you build, and all that. And you could build that doing other things, but this is one more thing that you could do with your family as a memory builder. And, you know, if it connects with someone, it's good.
It's very good. Yeah. And and most of the stewards of the water are fishermen, and there's certainly many that aren't, but I mean, the people out there on the water are, you know, that I know mostly in groups that support fishing. And a lot of them don't even fish anymore. You know, they're kind of beyond it. Watch and they observe other people. It's really weird.
Well, I always recommend to people, if you know, one of the ways you can help help our waters in our states is by buying a fishing license, even if you don't fish, because that money goes to support the habitat restorations, the management of the lakes, the ponds. So all that stuff goes to where you want to go. And it's a tax one chooses to pay. So that's one way to support.
Correct. Yeah. And whenever I buy one, I buy like all the, there's like four sub items that you don't have to buy that donate. And whenever a game warden stops me, they thank me and it's like $8 more. And they're like, thanks so much for, you know, for caring. And I'm like, I'm the only one that does this. This is where the money comes from that supports our whole state wildlife.
Right. Because if people don't know, New Hampshire doesn't have a big tax base. We don't have income tax or sales tax. So we have to fund these systems, and that's one way we do it. So,
right.
At Olukai, we handcraft Hawaii-inspired footwear, finding inspiration in Hawaiian culture and craftsmanship. Fishing is at the heart of Hawaiian culture today, just as it has been for centuries. Generations of fishermen and women expertly cast from rocky shorelines and sandy beaches. They spearfish, throw nets, fly fish, and navigate their boats beyond the reef into deep blue in search of the next big catch. No matter how they do it, there is an attention to detail and respect for the ocean that guides their passion. At Olukai, they believe in the same attention to detail when crafting their highest quality shoes and sandals built for every type of marine environment. Olukai's water-friendly Nohea Moku slip-on shoes features razor sipping with non-marking rubber for extra grip on the deck, dock, or rocks, and designed for easy off barefoot wear. I actually have a pair of these shoes that they sent me, and they're super comfortable. I've been wearing them all week. They're terrible for ice fishing. I tried putting cleats on them. My feet got cold, but they're going to be great once the ice melts and the boat's on the water, and they're super comfortable, and they have this heel that's designed to slide your feet in so you don't wreck your heel of your shoe. When it comes to sandals that perform, Olukai's new Ulele provides the comfort and durability of a sneaker in those long days on the boat or on the shore. And those are like a flippy flop, and they float, and they're really nice looking. And I have not worn mine yet because it is still winter time, but I can't wait to get them on. They also sent my wife a pair of shoes, and we'll do a deep dive on those later once it warms up a little bit. But you can go to olukai.com/fishnerds, click on through, and help support the Fish Nerds podcast. It really makes a big difference. Just click through. Everyone wears shoes. And you're ready to go. And I'm getting a text while I'm trying to say all this. We also want to thank our Patreon subscribers or supporters for supporting this podcast. Go to patreon.com/fishnerds. We're hoping everyone gives us a dollar an episode, about $4 or $5 a month to help keep this ship floating. It costs a few hundred dollars a month to run the podcast. But the goal of this podcast is to make it sustainable. Sustainable means that the hosts get paid for it. We can buy better equipment. We make a little bit of profit on it. And that's what sustainable means to me. So we're hoping everyone throws some money in the hat. If you've got any value out of this show at all, and you think, it's worth a buck an episode, go to patreon.com/fishnerds. If you give us $25 a month, we'll say the name of your business at the promo, like we do for Josh Lopes. You can go to lopestax.com, and you can support a local supporter of the Fish Nerds podcast. And it's really nice that he does that.
News, fish in the news.
We got three stories today. First one is about the coronavirus, because we have to have coronavirus in our show title.
Why not?
Well, I need it in the show title so that people will, you know, search it.
Oh, yeah. Be fearful.
Yeah. So live, this is from ABC News Australia. Live fish trade plummets as coronavirus blamed for scaring customers away from Chinese restaurants.
I'm speechless. I can't even go to where this goes. People aren't eating at Chinese restaurants because the origin was in China.
Yeah, sadly, I saw this on Fox News saying that people should, and I don't mean to poop on Fox News on my show, but in this particular case, I did see them recommend avoiding Chinese restaurants as a
really
coronavirus.
Well, you poop in toilets, right?
Yeah. Everyone poops. All right. So the live fish trade at Tasmania is the latest casualty of the seafood industry as coronavirus scares customers away from Chinese restaurants. Rock lobster and abalone exports from the island state were already under pressure from the global spread of COVID-19. Exactly like toilet paper scenario, Professor and expert Steve Crocker usually exports. Oh, that's a quote out of context. I don't know why I read that. Processor and exporter Steve Crocker usually exports lobster, abalone, and live fish to overseas and mainland markets. This time of year, he would usually send 1,500 kilograms of live fish to the markets in Sydney and Melbourne each week. He is currently selling less than 400 kilograms, which is about a third of what he should be sending. Our Chinese tourist numbers are not there anymore, and the local community are all concerned about dining at Chinese restaurants, Mr. Crocker said. He said social media had scared people out of going to restaurants. It's a fear factor of catching the virus in a restaurant, and it's pretty well unfounded, he said. 78 fishermen are involved in the Tasmanian fishery, and most are owner-operators who employs multiple deckhands. Now, basically, like, if you're doing stupid things like not eating or not, like, reading and you're avoiding things that don't make sense, you're hurting people's livelihoods by being dumb.
Yeah. Or choosing your ethnicity based on virus and what type of food you're going to eat. Like, well, we can't eat Italian because they have the virus. We can't eat Chinese because they have. Well, American has the virus too. We do. Right.
More cheeseburgers. we sell live fish into the Sydney and Melbourne markets. It's been affected by probably 70% because no one's going to buy fish. This is repetitive now. The RAS, usually 70 tons of RAS a year. Morong are the fixed total allowable. I can't read this. I don't know what that means.
But basically, yeah, it's not really that interesting beyond there.
Beyond there. But basically, stop being racist is the point.
Yes.
The Chinese did not do anything to us. We weren't attacked by China with a virus.
Australian restaurants are not Chinese. I can't wrap my head around it. Australia, Tasmania, right?
No, but you're seeing the same thing in the United States, and you're seeing the same thing around the world, and people love to blame each other for stuff. This is just a virus. Nobody did anything to you. So stop it. just stop it. And do the regular things you've always done. Well, I hope you wash your hands. And you don't cough on people. I mean, those are really,
you know, we've devolved.
We have.
we're down there with the fish going, oh, is there something shiny to bite at?
Yeah. I know. I do want to say, though, there is a big, you know, the media blow up over this. People are complaining about it. And they're saying things like, when the, you know, H1N1 came around, the media made a big fuss about it. And the SARS, the media made a big fuss about it. So I'm not worried about this one. And what I kind of want people to remember is, the media made a big fuss about those things, and the CDC and World Health Organization did their jobs and stopped those diseases from spreading around. And the only good scenario of this disease is in a year we're complaining about the media making a big fuss about it and nothing happening. Like, that's the goal. The goal should be we blew it up. Like, that's the best case scenario is in a year we go, hey, nothing happened. You know,
I got nothing. Yeah. I don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah.
Just live like life is important, I guess.
Yeah. And you know what? I think if you're ice fishing, you're pretty safe.
Yes.
But we're wrapping up our season on Saturday because the ice is going away.
Garbage.
I did fish Winnipesaukee yesterday, and I did get on. It was about 8 inches of good ice, so we're all right.
With Dave, I thought Dave was dead.
Dave is dead, but he's now zombie Dave, back from the deep. All right, let's get another news story up here from Florida. Politics
shark
story.
Fans.
Yeah, shark bands. It's important. I have a headline opinion, and then I read it, and I have another opinion. So.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one to understand.
The House passed a shark fin ban renamed after Kristen Jacobs with a carve-out for domestic fishermen. So initially, when you read that title, you read, oh, because I'm catching the fish domestically, I can sell shark fins to foreign markets, right?
Right.
And if you know what shark finning is, and this is how it's been done traditionally, is people catch these big mako sharks, they saw the fins off, they dump the live shark down in the ocean, and it goes to die, right? And to all of us free thinkers, we know that that's a bad idea. Right, just bad mojo. I'm not going to read the whole article to you because I read it already, and I'm going to give you the gist of it. But the carve-out for local fishermen says, well, if you're harvesting the shark anyway, so you're already eating the whole shark, is it okay to sell the fins?
Yeah, and I might agree with that, because like even in wildlife management, there you can't just kill critters and for the sake of killing them. Even if you just take their antlers, I think in most states you have to take the meat, at least pretend that you're going to use it. Like you can't shoot a deer and then just giggle and go, oh yeah, I have a hunting license. It's wasteful, and there are some rules. So if the fish is already dead,
if you're eating all the meat anyway, you might as well eat the fins. And that fact, a few years ago when we caught that shark with Sean Tibbetts, my only regret is not eating the fins. I have other regrets now. But at that time, I was like, I should have eaten the shark fins, because I'm never going to buy shark fin soup anywhere. But I had an opportunity to harvest my own shark fins. Now, just to get back to where I am with shark hunting, I am not in favor of harvesting large sharks out of the ocean either anymore. So I've swung around on the shark issue, and don't think hunting mako sharks is a great idea most of the time. So I'm more anti-shark fishing now than I was a few years ago.
I haven't engaged in it for that reason. Like, I don't know how I feel about it, because they've been just abused for so long.
Yeah. I think these large predators all need a break. I mean, we need to look at sharks. We need to look at even tuna, all these large fishes that we are like so obsessed with catching. I think they need a break. I think.
Yeah. Well, somebody was saying that it is the largest creatures are the first to go extinct, which is why dinosaurs, woolly mammoths, all the big things, because they're just such big meat piles of meat that everything likes to kill them.
Well, it makes, there's some efficiency to that.
Yeah, right. So the blue fins are out, sharks are going out, like all our big critters are dying, and we're going to be eating clams and I don't know what, insects, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, that's the best way to be sustainable, is eating the baits, eating the small things. Like that's the way you end up with sustainability. You're not going to get sustainable by eating the top predators. There's just not enough of them. And with fish being the only wild food we eat, in the supermarket, that's why when I'm at the supermarket and they sell like Acadia redfish, I'll buy like 4 pounds of it. It tastes great. It's a small fish. It's cheap. It's like $2 a pound. No one wants it but me. And it's delicious.
Oh, it's so good. It's like clean perch.
Yeah. Someone did all the work for me. It's great. All right. Now let's do some politics. And this is from Wired to Fish. Former professional angler Jason Quinn has filed a lawsuit against Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. The candidate's campaign allegedly used aerial internet video of Quinn running his wrapped bass boat during a Bassmaster tournament without permission. The Sanders campaign included this clip in a campaign ad and stated the southern border wall would not stop illegal drugs. According to the Herald, the lawsuit claims that Jason Quinn does not support Bernie Sanders or give him permission to use the video. Also, Quinn claims he had been harmed by the video's portrayal of Quinn in reference to the trafficking of illegal drugs. As point number 5 in the video explains how drug smugglers travel by sea, it shows a clear aerial video of Quinn's driving his wrapped bass boat. Quinn claims the Sanders campaign defamed him, invaded his privacy, and was grossly negligent. There's that.
Case closed, man. They shouldn't have done it. And somebody, I get clients that do this all the time. Like, oh, I got this image online. Like, all that stuff's copyrighted. You can't just take people's intellectual or, creative property and just use it. So I'm sure somebody was under the gun to produce something, and they're like, oh, let's find a drug running boat. And they found the weirdest thing ever, a bass boat wrapped with a guy's name, and said, there we go, drugs.
Yeah, this is one more reason that you need to hire the fish nerds as consulting to whatever you're doing in fishing media, because we can help you get this right. Dave and I were talking on the ice the other day about, like, we need a fish nerds consulting firm to get help all these anglers and fishing companies get things right so they don't do stupid stuff like this. Or remember in Walking Dead when they had a black sea bass caught in fresh water? I mean, that should just not happen.
So, so yeah,
they just need great a little help. Yeah, my hope, I mean, they should just pay them and apologize.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they're so clearly wrong. I don't know that they defamed him or anyone believes he's a drug smuggler from that. But he did get great press now that it got released. So...
Yeah, well, I also, what's his boat say? Evan Williams, which I think's a whiskey. They must be real happy too. So there's going to be a lawsuit from them for the same thing.
Well, maybe the thing that I reading this though, I struck me is it doesn't matter whether he's a Bernie supporter or not a Bernie supporter. Like there's some things that just don't matter to the outcome. Like it's no matter either way, Bernie should not have used his pictures.
Right, right. And it wasn't Bernie. It was the media company that probably just. Found something online.
Of course not, because Bernie doesn't know how to use a computer. Neither does any of our other last three presidents. You know, except for I don't know. Like it's, I don't know. We keep having these presidents who are like in their late 70s. Like, have you ever watched your grandfather try to use an iPad? Like, they're just not happening. Like, hey, well, you want to lead our country? How you? No, you can't drive my daughter around anywhere. I don't trust you behind the wheel of a car. But yeah, you can be president. Like, it's crazy. Like, what are we doing?
What makes the pictures play? I don't understand. Uh-huh. Where do I talk?
Where's the tubes? I want my YouTubes.
So, how do I get the YouTubes?
I want the YouTubes. Everyone gets free YouTubes. my daughter, Sammy, loves doing Bernie Sanders impressions.
Ooh.
He walks on the house. Fun. He's yelling, I want my dinner. Is it dinner time yet?
Dinner for everybody.
Dinner. You get free dinners. Yeah, she loves that.
All right. I'd love to have dinner with Bernie. He's a crotchety old cool cat.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about him being president, but I definitely, as a person, I would like to hang out with him. So
as a fighter. So
yeah. Just,
I don't think he did it on purpose.
But I guarantee you Bernie had no idea. So no clue. No.
We're
clue.
On the YouTubes.
On the YouTubes. I'm in. I didn't make a YouTube. Did you make a YouTube?
Oh, God.
All right, that was fishing. News, fish in the news. Everybody loves their fish in the news. Rich, is there anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to plug? You want to talk about Thirst Protections?
No, because I am so busy, I don't even know where my head is anymore. But, I'm doing web stuff and marketing stuff and... So a lot of nonprofit stuff. That's the only thing I'd like to talk about briefly is I try to do things with nonprofits in the fisheries area. So if anybody needs help with technology, I try. I'm not perfect. So I can't take all the work. But if someone has a good cause and needs web work, I'd be happy to do something on the side.
And they can go to thirstproductions.com for information and get hold of you?
Yes.
Good. And we'll put links up at in the show notes, of course.
Of course.
All right. Read this closing, Rich.
End this show. That's it. You've listened to a bunch of fish nerds when you should have been fishing.
Special thanks to Rich Collins, Diane's Bass Salts, Wally Pleasant, and the Crappie Hippie for their help with this podcast.
Until next time, follow the code of the fish nerds. Spawn early and often.
Never trust a free lunch with strings attached.
Swim against the current every chance you get.
Hey, thanks for making a podcast with me.
No problem. Thanks, Clay. Right.
Let me stop recording. Super.
Whether you're fly fishing in a stream, getting those ankles wet, or deep in the ocean casting nets, fish nerds, fish nerds, fish nerds, it's a podcast.
Just for the halibut!
Fried in a basket or broiled in a pan, eat it raw like you're in Siam, fish nerds, fish nerds, fish nerds. It's a podcast. Mm-hmm.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.